Glad to have you along here on The Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here. And as I mentioned a few minutes back, we're going to spend the first 40 minutes or so of our program getting advice from you about the programs that you would like to hear during this 11 to 12:30 time slot. And just to let you know, coming up, a couple of shows, quite a few shows actually that we've got scheduled already, just to give you an idea of what we're doing. And at 11:45 today, Patty Lowe will be along to talk about her new documentary titled Way of the Warrior, where we'll be looking at the role that Native American men and women played in U.S. military numbers that really exceeded their proportion to the general population. So look forward to that. Tomorrow is Halloween, so we'll take a look at Haunted Lakes and Haunted Lakes 2, the titles of two books about Great Lakes maritime history. Fred Stonehouse of Marquette, Michigan will be our guest. And then Milwaukee writer Martin Hintz talks about his book, Got Murder, in which he takes a look at notorious criminals from Wisconsin. New Zealand penguin biologist and documentary filmmaker Lloyd Spencer Davis talks about the real nature of penguins in his film on Thursday. And let's see, Friday, Kristen Krakowski for Garden Talk, Peter Green of InfoStar next Monday, Bassam Shakashiri talking science at 11 on Tuesday, Barry Orton talks about the communications landscape today, and then Wednesday will be the first Wednesday of the month, so Scott Craven waxes eloquently about Wisconsin's wildlife. Thursday, Ken Adams and John Freiberger talk home renovation and repair. And a week from Friday, Bob Tomesch of the UW-Madison Department of Horticulture. So those are some of the programs coming up. And you can join in with your suggestions at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. And particularly, we're looking for shows during this 11 to 12:30 time slot. And James in Oneida, I believe, is on. James, hi.
Hello, sir.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. I would. I'm concerned about the invasive species in like our Wisconsin lakes. I feel like a knob. I don't remember what the name of the fish is, but it's messing up a lot. Like Lake Winnebago had some issues, and Lake Michigan is having issues with this one species, and I really wish I knew what the name was, but I'm just concerned about that because I'm very concerned about, Wisconsin's lakes and the environment in general, sir.
Yeah, that's good. And there's a disease of fish that is really wreaking havoc in the Great Lakes.
Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Yes, the disease is totally messing them up, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've talked a little bit about it in the past, but I can promise you we'll be doing some more about it for sure. Thanks, James.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much. And let's see, Dave and Augusta, I think, is next. Dave, hi to you.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
I would like to see some topics discussed, some of the nostalgic historical pieces of northwestern or northern Wisconsin, as far as talking about the logging days, some of the characters or some of the people who had a real big part of that in the past. As well as muskie fishing. I'm a big muskie fisherman, and I know that there are other people out there who enjoy the sport. I'd like to hear some shows discussing some of the lakes that you go to and some of the ways to catch this fish.
Oh, that's great. And as a matter of fact, Jim Packard's working on the phone right now. We do have scheduled not quite scheduled yet, but we're trying to get it scheduled. The author of a book that really is the history of muskie fishing in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be getting that for sure. And there may be something out there, a book or an author to talk about the logging industry. That would be kind of fun, too. There's some really interesting history connected with logging in Wisconsin. I've always been told that Cornell, the town of Cornell in northern Wisconsin, was named after Ezra Cornell.
Sure.
Who logged off that whole area and made millions and then went back to New York and founded Cornell University.
Exactly. Now, there's also an author in northern Wisconsin on the Chippewa Flowage. His name is John Detloff. He has written a couple books about the history of muskie fishing, as well as some of the lore of the North Woods, the logging days and things like that. So.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, John is the guy that we're trying to get scheduled for the show.
Okay.
So that'll be perfect for you, Dave. And
yes,
hopefully,
it will.
Thanks a lot.
You bet, Larry. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting him on. We haven't gotten his books yet. I believe he'll be sending us his books, and once we get a chance to look at them, we'll pretty much get him set up. I like to read the books before I have a chance to actually have the person on, so I know what I'm talking about and what the author was talking about a little bit. And Jim says we just did receive a couple books, so we'll be getting him scheduled. Let's go to Steve in Viroqua next. Steve, hi to you.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Say, I just would like to see hear a show on your hour time frame that referenced, you know, try to get a hold of a neurologist that specializes in what's called severe cerebellar ataxia. It's kind of the shrinking of the cerebellum. And it seems to be becoming more and more popular, and that people are getting this from major surgeries and car wrecks and childbirth. And my wife has this also, so it'd be kind of nice to be able to see, you know, get somebody that's a specialist just in this field.
And it's cerebellar ataxia?
Ataxia, yep.
Ataxia.
Yep.
All right, well, I think I got actually almost have the spelling correct, too. All right, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, thank you.
Appreciate it very much. That's something we can probably get scheduled without too much problem. I imagine there's some UW doctors that are working on that. Could be some others, too. Probably, most certainly are some others around the state or elsewhere. We can go elsewhere, too. Walton Madison, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Hello. This is kind of a technical question, but right now I believe you are carrying analog and HD digital ad nauseum. But what are you going to cut off analog aft in 2009 or something, or what?
I'm not sure. I know on the television side, and I should know this, good grief, but I don't. But on the television side, everything is going to be digitized, so you're going to have a converter box. But I don't recall hearing that for radio. I'm seeing now the radios are coming out on the market, and we've been hearing a little bit from our engineers about some of the new digital radios. Steve, our head chief engineer, has been sending us information once in a while, but I'm not sure. That's something we could look into.
What are these boxes going to cost?
Oh, the converter boxes I have for television? I have no idea what those are going to cost, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, I think it's aren't they able to carry it, you know, electrically? I would think that it's going to force people to spend millions of dollars that still, you know, their old TVs are working pretty good. And go ahead.
You know what?
What?
I hope you can listen in, let's see, Tuesday of next week. In fact, save that question and call in and ask. Tuesday of next week, Professor Barry Orton, will be on, who's a communications specialist, and we're actually going to be talking about the communications landscape in the country, and he will have the answer to that.
Is that next Tuesday?
Yeah, next Tuesday.
On your program?
Yeah, on my show at 11:45.
Okay. Well, thank you much, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Well, we anticipated Walt's question there, and we've got the guy to answer it. Not really, but that's kind of what we want to cover. The whole landscape. So that's one. Jim, remember that. Let's ask that question in case Walt forgets or isn't able to hear it. Bob in Grafton, it's your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I would like to have more guests who have no financial interest, who are not writing a book, have a documentary, have a business. And I think we could have more academics on who have no financial interest, because the majority of guests have written a book that gets talked about, have a TV show that gets talked about, or have a business that gets talked about, and this is very valuable advertising for them. And mm-hmm. I just think we need to get commercial interest out.
So more, in other words, find some university professors, let's say, who are specialists in financial matters and have them on rather than somebody who represents a company or his own or her
or
own.
Or has a book on the market.
Or a book on the market.
Thank you, Larry.
All right. Thanks, Bob. We can look into that. We have done some financial shows with university faculty members, and it's always worth looking again and seeing who's out there and who would be willing to participate. I kind of like that idea as well of having – we certainly want to maintain a kind of neutrality, and most of the time it works. A lot of time, sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time it does work. Larry in Sheboygan, it's your turn. Hi, Larry.
Good morning.
Morning.
The most influential person in the world of surfing was Duke Kahanamoku, but the second most popular or influential person in the entire history of surfing was Tom Blake, born and raised in Wisconsin. And died in Wisconsin.
Mm.
Just a fantastic water person that invented the modern surfboard, invented the surfboard fin. And I believe up in Ashland, Wisconsin, there's a museum that's working on a piece. He had passed away up there at age 82. And he's just one of these Wisconsin natives that really made a difference in the world of the sport and lifestyle of surfing.
Hmm. I wonder if there's a book about him.
There's several books out. I'm not sure of any of the authors, but I know if you also contact the Lake Superior Surf Club, a lot of those guys are working on that piece. I believe right now Greg Isaacson up that way is responsible for possibly the museum piece that's being put together also.
Greg Isaacson, yeah.
Yes.
We were just talking about the Lake Superior Surf Club. Now, there's a hearty group. And Jim Packard, as a matter of fact, has a shirt on today that is says Dairyland on the back, and it's the Dairyland Surf. Yeah, I got it.
I'm the founder of that.
You are?
Yes, I am. We're coming into our 20th year of that event, the largest freshwater surfing event in the world.
Well, you got some hardy guys there, Larry.
Well, we're coming into our season now, so it won't be but another month or two before we're jumping off of icebergs and surfing perfect 6-foot waves.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks a lot for calling. Boy, there's a hearty bunch. I'll tell you that right now. Jump off the ice and into the water. Tell you what, Lake Superior is pretty cold even in August. It's not exactly a bathtub temperature, that's for sure, let alone what it must be like to jump off in January or December. Don in Woodruff, it's your turn. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
Morning.
Several times in the past, you've done programs on word derivations and that sort of thing. Someone was doing a special dictionary on words.
Yeah.
And I think it would be interesting to do another one of those.
Yeah, we have highlighted, and we've got, Jim's making a note of that, the Dictionary of Regional English.
Yeah, right.
And yep. It's always a lot of fun when we do that show. Well, I promise you we'll follow up with that.
Okay. And by the way, your program is the reason I support Wisconsin Public Radio, because I actually learned from it.
Well, Don, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And on that note, I have to remind you that you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with Jim Packard on the Ideas Net. Taking your suggestions for programs during this 11 to 12:30 time slot, Larry Mueller here. Just to let you know, coming up in about 25 minutes or so, about a quarter to 12, Patty Lowe will come by to talk about her enthralling documentary, I should say. It's titled The Way of the Warrior, and you're going to be interested in hearing what she's got to say about the Native Americans who fought in our wars in the 20th century. Some really interesting stuff. And tell you what, now, though, we're on a topic, so let's go to Peter in Stoughton is next, I believe. Let's see if I can get him on here. Oh, there we go. Oh. Hi, Peter. Thanks for calling.
Okay. I'd like to suggest that you create a monthly show about cars and car maintenance. I know you carry Car Talk once a week. They are lucky if they get to 8 topics, and it's very amusing, and I enjoy it a lot. I was actually a guest on that show back in the very early days when I lived in Boston. But I think something as important as basic automobiles would be worthy of 45 minutes a month if we can talk about, I certainly enjoy the discussion of computers and mm-hmm. gardening and this and that, but for something as basic as cars and transportation, I think a lot of other people would appreciate it if a show with that format got created.
Peter, I like that idea too. We'll take a look and see who we can come up with as a guest and try it out and see what happens.
Well, I'm not connected in any way, but I might suggest you talk to the guy who runs Terry's Car Care right there in Madison, because he deals with all sorts of different automobiles. He's been in business for a long time, and if I recall, he's been a Wisconsin Public Radio supporter for quite a while, too.
Terry's Car Care in Madison. Yeah, I know that. I know that place. All right, we'll follow up. Thanks, Peter. We'll see what we can come up with. Kathy in Sturgeon Bay, hello to you.
I do. Yes, I really like Peter's idea about the cars. That's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to follow up on that. We're going to give that a try and see how it goes.
Good. Glad to hear that. My absolute favorite is Basham Shakashiri. I think he's one of the most interesting people you ever have on.
Oh, thank you. He's on next Tuesday, by the way.
Is he? Oh, good. And then I get such a kick out of the Train Man.
Oh, Rod Crunan.
Yes. If those two could show up more often, man, I'd be smiling all the time.
Rod, it doesn't seem like there's a railroad crossing that he isn't intimately aware and familiar with.
That's very true. Very true.
I like them too, Kathy. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Appreciate it. Oh boy, Uncle Rodney people call him Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads, and Basham Shakashiri is a great guy too. Paul in La Crosse, hi to you.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
A couple years ago, I heard you had Jim and Ernie on from the Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center.
Yeah.
And they did some caves that they found. And, you know, maybe, I know it's not just because I'm from La Crosse, but I've heard these guys before. They do a lot of outreach in the community. But I thought they did a great job of explaining, you know, how all of this fits together, our prehistory. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, you know, I thought those guys were great, but I think that we have a lot of, not just the university, but a lot of other schools in the state that have archaeology centers, departments. People who interact with students a great deal are best able to answer the questions that the callers have, because they take questions from students all the time. They're talking to people. It's that, and it's not just all research. And I would love to hear more about the true early days of Wisconsin. And if you could get those guys back, I think it'd be great.
All right. I'm writing it down. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate the call and the ideas. And you know, when we do shows on archaeology, we always get lots of calls. There always seems to be lots of interest. So it's another good show to keep bringing back. Dennis in Madison, hi to you.
Hey. Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Instead of your week in review program that's on, how about doing a follow-up once a month from the headline stories of a year ago in that month? It seems like, you know, it's always big media, big news lines for one or two days, and then all of a sudden it's gone because there's another headline story sort of thing. And just doing a follow-up in terms of here's what happened.
You know, and that's probably more likely a show that Joy would do. Joy Cardine, I think, possibly Kathleen, but Joy or Kathleen would probably, since we usually don't deal with sort of the political, those kinds of issues during this show. I mean, not that we couldn't, but we tend not to because we've got other fish to fry. But we can pass that on. Stories from a year ago. Follow up. Okay. Karen and Jefferson, your turn. Hi, Karen.
Well, hello, Larry. This one I think is for you. This would be for your show.
Mm-hmm.
To have a guest on that would specialize on foraging either through old fields or forests for food with the idea of reducing some of these invasive species. I know one time I saw on the internet a recipe for bass with burdock root and garlic mustard. And so that I thought of you right away. And I know there is some gentleman, and I think his book is out of print, that was foraging for food in Central Park in New York City and came up with a meal. And he had about 8 people, and I guess it was expensive to go with him, but they all were fed at the end of the day with what he found there. And I'm concerned about the garlic mustard. I know that's cookable, and my husband won't eat it. But next year I'm going to tease him. I'm going to say I got these seeds from an exotic Chinese seed company, which he would go for because we've done Chinese greens. So I am finally going to do that because we've got some in our tree line. But I know we've got some burdock, and I'm in the middle of an old field, you know, and I do some gardening. But I'm also concerned about some of these invasive species, if someone would know if they're edible. I know some of the things we ate when we were children, foraging, you know, not knowing. They just tasted good and looked pretty, and we put them in our mouths, and we did okay. So I would be very interested in someone that was an expert to come on your show and discuss this, living off the land type of thing, with an idea of maybe reducing some of these that are edible.
You know, there's got to be, you know, we've done some shows, but it goes back quite a few years.
Uh-huh.
And because we had an author or two that talked about foraging for food. And when you mentioned burdock, I immediately thought of my old friend, rest his soul now, Joe Clementi, who cook up the burdock in the spring when the stalks were really nice and tender, and he'd put Italian seasonings on them, and they were really good.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get the tender shoots, the early, the very early tender shoots. I think we have a new book. There's a new book out, Jim Packer was telling me, he knows about, and we'll follow up on that. John Matavilla, I believe, might be the person. But we'll try and follow up on the forage, because that'd be kind of fun to do, foraging for food. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Garen.
Okay, thank you, Larry.
Take care. Have a great day. And you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Looking for shows to air during this 11 to 12:30 time slot. And Patty Lowe just walked by and waved her arms. She'll be coming in 15 minutes. We'll talk with her about her movie. But for now, let's talk topics. Lee in Madison, you're next. Hi, Lee.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering, it might be kind of nice to have somebody on from continuing education and outreach so that they can talk about what people can do to go back to school after they've been out of school for a while, just to get more information or find out how they can go back for another degree or if they're elderly and just
you know
what their options are.
We have the most extensive continuing and outreach program and here in Wisconsin through the University of Wisconsin Extension and elsewhere through continuing education. And I don't think we do enough to talk about that.
That's right.
So great. I'll be glad to highlight that.
Great.
Thank you.
It'd be wonderful.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
You know, that's why we do these kinds of shows from time to time, to kind of remind us about what's out there. And we see thousands of things. Believe me, thousands of things, topic ideas, for every show, literally. Every show, not, I don't mean every day, but between Joy and all the rest of us, for myself, I'm Jim Packard, I know he sees thousands of topics every year, a lot of them that I don't see. So it's nice to hear from you what you like and would like to have on. So that's great. Larry in Woodruff, your turn. Hi, Larry.
Hi, thank you for taking this call here.
Sure.
The gentleman earlier that mentioned a show on cars, automobiles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that it'd be nice to incorporate something in there about the general public and how they have dealt with unscrupulous mechanics, so to speak. I'm sure the listeners can would be able to tell the legitimate from the unlegitimate complaints and experiences, but I think by and large we're all under the tyranny, so to speak, of very expensive car repairs and this kind of thing.
Yep.
And it just I've seen even with my own experience where I had the front brakes were damaged purposely. And because I know they were brand new, they had just been put in.
Oh.
And you see, what does a person do? Well, somebody will say, you know, they'll give you the 15-second thing. Well, get an estimate, get this, get that. And then what? Spend time taking them to court? You know, who has time for that? Who has money for that? Who has, you know, you can't. You're really you're really at a loss. So it'd be interesting to hear these experiences and how they were resolved.
Okay.
This type of thing. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Like that idea, too. We can incorporate that in with the car show. Ron in Arena, your turn. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for the program.
You bet.
Yeah, I like the car thing, too. And something that I would like to see is I'd like to see you do a program maybe once a year or so on different recreational things, like down on the Mississippi River. It's a great boundary water to the west that always seems like it gets overlooked. And a lot of people are afraid of the big river. You know, just have, you know, like an outdoor program that you get somebody in that can talk about the opportunities for fishing, boating, stuff like that down there, because there's so many people that just don't understand the Mississippi, you know.
Yep.
And I spend a lot of time on it myself. No, I would not be a qualified expert, but I do know that there are people out there that would be good at it, and it would be a fun topic, you know, just to hear people's stories about things that can be done down that area.
You know, it's a good idea. We've had in the past, there's a magazine out, and I'm blanking on the name now, but it has to do with the Mississippi River. And we've had the editor of that on several times, but not for a long. Big River, I believe, is the name of the magazine.
Yeah, I think you're right, Larry. I remember hearing those programs, but it's been several years ago.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I listen to your program a lot, and I just haven't heard it lately, so...
Thank you, Ron.
Dig one of those up sometime. You know, not monthly, once a year would be cool, though.
Well, we can do that. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Val in Green Bay.
Hi, Larry. I've got a couple of ideas. One is an author that I think she lives in Wausau, Victoria, Houston. She writes fishing stories, and they're always a mystery. All the titles start with dead, like Dead Hot Mama and Dead Angler and all that. And it's just fun to see these little Wisconsin names in print. And, you know, we've been there and oh, yeah. You know how that is. It's just fun. And
you know, I should just break in here for just a minute to tell you. I picked up one of her books and... You know, we were on our way north on vacation, and I stopped at a bookstore and was looking for a book to have, you know, to read during the evenings and stuff. And I bought one of her books, and I liked it so much. I actually were going through all the back, all of her books, and I've read almost all of them. In fact, I was reading Dead Hot Mama last night, so at about 11 o'clock, while the Packers were on, I was sort of reading in between. So I've been meaning to tell, and then I had the I was fortunate enough to meet Victoria Houston in Manitowish Waters in some early September. So I had a nice chat with her, and so I've been meaning to tell Jim to we've got to get her on. She's got her new, latest I haven't gotten yet. So
yeah, they're fun books.
Oh, they're a lot of fun to read.
The other thing that I find interesting, being a railroader, is Cromer Caps. Used to be made in Milwaukee. The franchise for them got bought out, and they're made up in Ironwood. And I'll tell you, well, you probably know all about Cromers, but you wear one, everyone says, where'd you get that Cromer? You know, they're like an icon.
Yeah.
Kind of an icon for outdoor living, and I don't know how that could ever be worked in, but it'd be interesting for a while anyway.
It would be. Well, you know, when you mentioned the caps, I got to thinking of one of Victoria Houston's people that she has in her book, and he wore a hat with a a walleye on top of it. Ray, I believe his name was.
Yeah, yeah, everybody knows a Ray, right?
Everybody knows a Ray. Thanks, Val.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Oh, that's good. Victoria Houston is high on my list of getting her in here to talk. That's for sure. Rosemary in Union Grove. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, it's Rosemarie, actually.
Rosemarie, okay.
Such a good additions to your already good show. These are fun things to listen to.
Oh, they are, aren't they?
Yeah, I'd like to see a program. I don't know if it would be your show. Maybe. About in-hand cash as opposed to credit.
In-hand cash?
As opposed to the use of... the rampant use of credit today, even our country. I mean, our country is our leader. And here, look at our credit ratings. Patience in saving for a purpose for the young people. Mm-hmm. Immediately, every young person, you know, they get to school, then they get into high school, got to have that car, boom, credit. They're saddled with bills.
Yep.
Kids get credit cards for 10th grade, they're carrying credit cards. I think it's seriously dangerous, and I wish somebody would come to the forefront and have some knowledgeable... I'm not getting anywhere with our grandchildren. So, I don't know. Maybe later on when they get into trouble, they'll listen, but...
Well, you know, and even the... the cash cards. Now, I've noticed one of the television ads where everybody's paying by card, and then here comes... everything's moving along really quickly, and then somebody comes up with cash, and everything stops, and they all look at him like, "What are you doing?"
That's a sin. That should be outlawed.
Thanks, Rosemary. Appreciate it. Oh man, Mitch in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Mitch.
Hi. I've got a couple things. One is that our Green Bay Library up here, it's Thursday nights, is putting on a series of, I guess they got two or three more to go, of history of the area. They also just had one earlier on the large trees in this area. And they had a, when I get off the air, I'll give you the guy's name. But he has... he has a measuring thing. He's going out and he's trying to push this measuring. In fact, I think you know him.
Bruce Allison?
No, he just retired from the Brown County's extension office.
Paul
Hartman.
Paul Hartman, sure.
Yes, well, he's doing Champion Trees of Brown County, Wisconsin. He just did a. He got a group together and they did a big measuring of the big trees on here to sort of highlight them, let people know what big trees really look like. And I thought I had a big tree in my backyard, and I went out and measured it. That was 89 inches around. And then I looked it up in the book, and it was 11 feet. It was a big valley. So I went over and looked at it, and there was a difference.
there really is. And, you know, it's fun. And Paul's a great guy. You know, it might be fun to have him on with Bruce Allison, because Bruce Allison from southern Wisconsin has done a book on the champion trees of Wisconsin, and the two of them I bet would have a lot of fun, and they know each other. They'd have a lot of fun talking. It'd be fun to have them on just to talk about trees. You know, I'm a member of the Dane County Tree Board, so I have to promote trees. Well, I don't have to, but I like to promote trees. So anyway, that's a good the good topic, Mitch. Thank you. Vern in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, Vern.
Hello, Larry. I would like to suggest treasure hunting.
Treasure hunting.
Yes. There are people who do that, though I can't tell you who they are. And there are commercial ones who make a living at it.
Oh.
And I think it's an interesting... Everybody wants to find a treasure, you know.
Well, I sure would.
Yeah, wouldn't we, though? And
Now, are you talking about, like, shipwrecks? Or
no. Well, that, true. But treasures of pirate treasures buried in old Spanish... treasures of 200-300 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And just buried in the ground.
Yeah. especially at the turn out there where the Indians rebelled, you know. I have read considerably about areas what was the Spanish left and covered it over because they couldn't take it.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's got to be somebody out there that knows about that, has got a book out about it, or probably more than one. So we'll see what we can do, Vern. Thank you. Appreciate it. And Eric and Mazamani, your turn. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Larry. Like a couple of previous callers, I would like to hear something about the history of the Mississippi River. My wife and I do a lot of camping over that way. And I'd like to know about some of the settlements, how they got their names, and some Native American history.
Very good. Got it down. Well, definitely, we've had enough. We've had a few people now mention the Mississippi, and so there's no reason why we can't follow up on that. So I'm glad to do that. And Mary in Madison, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Mary.
Hello. I'd like to echo interest in Wisconsin history and the archaeology, but I'd like a program on Wisconsin geology and also Mississippian culture and prehistoric trading, trade items, especially metal.
Mm-hmm. Prehistoric trading. All right. I've got them all. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate it very much. Well, I tell you what, we had... Oh, and Karen in Cottage Grove wanted something about cell towers, too. I tell you what, Karen, can't talk to you right now, but I hope you tune in on Tuesday when Barry Orton's on, because Barry will probably be able to talk about those cell towers, too. Okay? Boy, lots of great ideas. Thank you, everybody, for calling in with those ideas. And, you know, we've had some... I know there were several people who had interest in Native American issues. They had interest in history. Some of that's going to be combined in our program coming right up as we talk with Patty Lowe about her new documentary called The Way of the Warrior. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.